Marisol was dragging Gabe towards the theater. I thought we were getting out of the dark. That was before I had to fuck you right away. Now the only place we'll have any privacy is the theater. You're kidding me. There are a million people in there. Yep. They're all watching shirtless hunks fighting over a brooding girl. We're going to see that. She pointed at a poster. Screen 14 was showing a comedy of manners set in London in 1840. Smart girls or so. Resourceful when it comes to banging venues? Marisol quipped. You're buying my ticket. I bought your smoothie. You dropped it. Gabe mused. I dropped my smoothie, and that was your fault. I'll expect a replacement. Your smoothie is still on the counter at the shop. Marisol reminded him. The theater was empty and the movie was starting. Gabe took Marisol to the top row and kissed her, sat down and pulled her down on his lap. She ground into his erection as he ran his hands under her shirt, up her belly and across her bra. She got her shirt and bra off and threw them on the seat as he slid his hands between her legs and tapped her shorts gently, right on top of her clit. Marisol sighed. Gabe loved the feel of her skin, smooth and responsive. He ran his hands over her breasts, loving the sensation of her nipples hardening under his hands. Oh, no good, she gasped. It's too dark. Let's go to the front. Gabe registered the first scenes from the film vaguely. A lot of parasols in manicured English gardens. There was a small stage immediately below the screen. Marisol jumped on it. Stay there. You have to see me. She stood in the shifting light from the projector and slowly turned around, showing off her hair, her back, her breasts. Gabe watched with his heart in his throat as she pulled off her shorts, then her panties. He pulled off his shirt as he watched her pace the stage, waiting for him impatiently. If someone walks in, Marisol interrupted him, then they'll get a graphic representation of the subtext of the film. Help me out. When he says, Harriet, you are full of charms, what he really means is, I want to fuck you until you scream. Gabe climbed onto the stage naked. And when she says, Oh, Clive, you startled me, she means, You caught me fingering myself thinking about you. Marisol ran a finger into her pussy and out again. She shuddered happily as Gabe wrapped his arms around her from behind and teased her nipples. And when he says, the hounds are on a scent, they'll flush the fox soon, he means, get on your knees and spread for some doggy style. Gabe hummed as Marisol rubbed her bottom teasingly against his cock and got on all fours in front of him. And when she says, I am full up with your words, she means, shut the fuck up and fill me with your beautiful cock, slowpoke. Marisol wiggled her bottom at him invitingly. Slowpoke it is then. Gabe knelt and placed the head of his cock against her pussy. She whined and struggled as he slid himself into her slowly and back out again, holding her hips to keep him from filling her too soon. Yes, she said, rocking gently. Finally. She shrieked as he thrust into her. The light swirled around them, images of horses and petticoats and rowboats on ponds. Gabe pounded her mercilessly, pouring the tension of days of buildup into fucking his beautiful Marisol. She squealed and moaned, pushing herself into him, around him, squeezing and thrusting. Gabe pulled out and turned her on her back. The light from the screen lit her softly. He entered her again, from the front, and her eyes widened a little. He said her name. Marisol. pumping gently at first, her hands on his arms. He sped up until she gasped for breath while he said her name. Oh, Marisol, Marisol. Her orgasm came gently at first, teasing her with promise. Then it rolled in, pounding her in time with Gabe's, pounding in time with her cries, like the ocean pounding a beach. Gabe grunted and shot himself into her, powerfully again and again. She shook with the feeling full of him, moving, sliding against each other under a small shifting sun. Sun and ocean, Marisol murmured into his ear as she struggled to catch her breath. That's what Marisol means. We were the waves on a beach. Yes, we were. Gabe pulled out of her and tipped his head towards the seats. I think we're also caught in the act. A pair of glasses reflected light out of the dark theater. Marisol's eyes got wide. What do we do? Run for it? Gabe shrugged. Let's take a bow, then we can get our clothes from the back. Then we can run for it. Marisol smiled. Okay. By the time they arrived at Beth's house, Anthony was as hard as he had ever been. It had been difficult to read Summer's reactions to the car's magic. She had spent most of the ride twisted around, facing the back of the car. He thought he had heard her moaning once or twice. Beth had let loose, though, once she thought he couldn't hear her. He guessed she had a continuous orgasm for the last 3 miles on the freeway. She was eloquent in cursing the fact that she didn't live down in Fairview. Beth got out of the car unsteadily. Anthony took the earbuds out of his ears and rolled his window down a few inches to hand the iPod back to her. Thanks, he said. That's a cool playlist. It has a lot of passion. Beth smiled awkwardly. Thank you so much for the ride. She bent down so she could see Summer. I really appreciate it. Then she leaned forward and pressed her lips to his window and added her lipstick to his trophies, turned, and wandered to her door. I'm never being nice to anyone ever again, Summer growled as Anthony pulled away from the curb. I thought I caught you digging the ride once or twice. What happened? Well, yeah, but she grabbed my hand when she started to come and wouldn't let go, twisted me all up, and I couldn't get the shaking to the right spots. I know exactly how you feel. Honestly, this getting everyone else off is making me jealous. I'm taking you to my room. On surface streets. He turned onto a boulevard. Summer slipped her hand over his crotch and rubbed him gently as he drove. Okay, then, she said. But I'd love to keep you interested. He stayed interested. Anthony parked behind Justin's car. Justin's engine was still running and the passenger door was open. Summer went to the passenger side, took out Karen's shoes and closed the door while Anthony turned off the car and locked it. There's no telling what we'll find inside, Anthony muttered. Oh, we know perfectly well what we'll find, Summer said, smiling. Clothes all the way up the stairs, and unless they suddenly got responsible, they've left the door open. They picked up the blouse on the porch, closed the front door, picked up the bra on the stairs. Summer sighed and whispered, okay, one last nice thing before I give it up for good. Give me a sec. She left Anthony on the stairs holding half of Karen's clothes. When she came back, she had 4 bottled waters from the fridge. Justin's door wasn't quite closed, and happy sounds were drifting into the corridor. Summer knocked twice, yelled, housekeeping, and opened the door far enough to throw 2 of the water bottles, the clothes, and the keys into the middle of the floor. She slammed the door. There was a stunned silence, then laughter. Thank you, drifted out through the closed door. When Summer turned around, Anthony was standing so close that she ran into him. She breathed deeply and smelled him, the cologne and sweat of him, looked him in the eye and impulsively bit his nipple through his shirt. He grabbed the hem of her t-shirt and pulled it over her head in one motion and backed her up against the wall. Anthony fondled her breasts, enjoying the softness of her skin and the way she responded to his touch. She had pulled his belt off and was unbuttoning his pants. He felt her hand search for his cock through his boxers and give it a loving squeeze. Then she pulled those off too. Anthony hooked his fingers into the top of Summer's miniskirt and led her down the hall. He in just his shirt, she in just her miniskirt and panties. In the bedroom, he kissed her and backed her up to the bed. He pushed lightly in the center of her chest and she fell, her hair arranging itself into a halo around her head on his pillow. You smell good, Summer cooed. I loved the smell of your pillow in the dark room. Anthony took off his shirt. It smells like you too. When I'm awake at night, I breathe and I think about your pussy grinding my pillow. Anthony was pulling her panties off as he spoke. Spread your legs. She felt both excited and shy to be opened to him this way. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me I'm beautiful. Anthony caressed the inside of her thighs with his fingers, then his lips. He kissed her pussy lightly and licked her once. I love looking at you. All the delicate folds of you, smooth and textured, dry, moist, sparkling. He licked her again harder. She squealed and touched his head with the tips of her fingers. You smell beautiful, like excitement and willingness and lust. Anthony kissed up her body, and when his cock penetrated her, he pushed to the hilt and held her, enjoying the moment and enjoying the promise. Summer moved first, a smooth press of her pussy against Anthony's cock in a squeeze. Their rhythm grew naturally and deliberately. The bed creaked quietly with their movements, and suddenly, as Anthony started to pound her pussy in earnest, one of the legs of the bed started beating the floor loudly in time with thrusting. Summer was biting his ear. Does everything you own, she gasped, get unbalanced at speed? She licked his shoulder and squeezed his ass. Nothing that matters, he said and kissed her. The room disappeared for him. He was only aware of her mouth on his, her breasts pressing into his chest, her fingernails making burning paths across his back and buttocks, her pussy wet and strong and needy, squeezing him, sucking him over and over. He sucked in a breath through his teeth and came. Summer felt the rhythm change and it turned a switch on. She suddenly was riding uncontrollably towards her own orgasm. She was vaguely aware of the screaming escaping from her throat. Her legs wrapped around his waist and she squeezed him hard. She rocked and pushed and squeezed against his hardness inside her. The electricity running through her seemed to go on for hours, carrying her out of the room and over the house and finally descending again, letting her down gently. She found herself back on his bed again, his eyes sparkling down at her. He kissed her and smiled. I broke my mug full of pencils when I came. He kissed her again. You broke my lamp. Amala loved the way Steve looked at her. He kept sneaking peeks at her breasts and grinning when she caught him. He wanted to see her from every angle, every kind of light. The dark room was all your idea, wasn't it? Steve asked, putting a hand on her thigh. Well, I sort of planted the idea, yes, she said, grinning, and the girls just ran with it. You deserve a prize, Let's find a podium somewhere so I can present it to you. Amala's eyes sparkled. I made one last little arrangement. You remember the masseuse? He scared the shit out of me. Of course I remember him. He knows everybody at the mall. He pulled some strings and got me this. She held up a funny-looking key. It opens one of the stores. The stores are all open. It's the middle of the afternoon. Not all of them. Amala took Steve's hand and led him towards the main hall. The sign said, Betting on a Winner, and the display windows were covered in mall logo paper. A sign on the door said, For Lease. Amala opened the door with her key. They went out of business a couple weeks ago. Steve followed Amala into the dark store, and when she flipped the light switch, he laughed in amazement. In the center of the empty store, lit up by a pool of warm light, was a bedroom. A king-sized bed covered in a feather comforter flanked by end tables with lamps. I knew I wasn't going to be able to wait until I got you into my room, and I didn't want to end up in a broom closet. At least not this time. She felt Steve come up behind her and wrap his arms around her. She pushed her breasts into his hands as he ran them up her body. You were nervous on Monday, Steve said as he caressed her, and you didn't want to let me hear your voice. I want to hear your voice now. Tell me exactly what you want. Amala turned her head towards him. Kiss me. Steve leaned forward to kiss her, and she stopped him. I changed my mind. Get me out of these clothes. I'm done waiting. Steve took off her sweater and skirt and had to chase her to the bed to get her panties off. She sat on the edge of the bed, naked, breathing hard as he took his clothes off. Lick me gently. Tell me how I taste. Steve kissed Amala's pussy and licked softly once, twice. He closed his eyes. Kept looking. Curry? she asked between strokes and squealed when he shook his head, his nose grazing her clit. Cucumber, he murmured into her folds. She would have laughed, but she was having trouble organizing her breathing. I want you in me now. Amala backed across the bed and Steve followed her, his mouth catching her nipple as he moved up her body. He slid into her easily and stroked in and out of her smoothly as he kissed her neck, her chin, her mouth. The smell of her hair drove him wild. Oh, don't stop. Oh, don't stop, she gasped as he thrust into her. Lean down a little. Don't stop. Steve lowered his face to her shoulder and kissed it just as he felt her teeth touching his own shoulder. He could feel her fingers starting to dig into his back and her pussy squeezing down against his hardness. Amala groaned into his shoulder as she rocked with him, against him, her teeth grazing his skin and tightening a little each thrust. Do it. Do it, Steve growled at her. Do it. Bite me when you come. He sped up, pounded her pussy fast and hard. Bite me. Amala felt the glow start in her pussy, and it flashed into an orgasmic flame. She felt the shocks running through her body, flushing the skin of her face, and she felt Steve grunting and coming inside her, his body filling hers in a perfect rhythm. She didn't remember having actually bitten his shoulder, but when she finally opened her eyes, she saw tiny drops of blood where her teeth had been. Steve kissed her. I'm glad you chose me. Me too, she said. Now, do me from behind. And Steve laughed. Give me a minute. Okay then, she said, sitting up. You'll find a basket of apples and water under the bed. I want one of each. You thought of everything, Steve said, as he grabbed some apples and water. In the very bottom of the basket, he found a bag of cotton balls and two pairs of chopsticks. Dieter looked at Marie Marta, sitting next to him on the bench seat of his old Nova. She was a force of nature with her hand on his thigh, and he was driving her. He didn't know where. How do I get to your room? Dieter asked.
We live close to your house. I shall tell you from there.
You left without your dress last night. How did you get home?
I walked. I was with friends, and I could still taste you. I did not feel exposed.
You're completely amazing. I guessed you might have done that, but I didn't realize you lived close enough to walk.
Yes, we arranged it that way, and it has worked very well.
Dieter wasn't sure what that meant, but he was distracted when Marie Marta laid her head on his lap and curled her feet up on the seat. She looked comfortable and briefly vulnerable like a child. Dieter caressed her face as he drove. You're completely uninhibited, like a little girl that raises her dress over her head. It doesn't matter to you what people think should be covered, and it doesn't occur to you to be embarrassed. He let his hand wander to her breast, and she touched the back of his hand as he touched her.
I have nothing to be embarrassed about.
She closed her eyes and sighed.
Your touch is right.
As Dieter approached the guy's house, Marie Marta spoke without raising her head from his lap.
Drive to the corner. Turn right. Then turn right again. Ours is the white house, the second on the right.
Dieter laughed. Are you serious? You live across our back fence? He parked.
Sometimes I can see you from my room. We made a hole in the fence to walk through this week. I will show you later. Come to my room now.
Marie Marta's room was a large attic room full of light, decorated in shades of white in a dozen different textures. Dieter stood in the door, taking in the sight as Marie Marta faced him.
I like having you here.
She dropped her dress on the floor and walked to the bed, comfortable in her own space.
Look how my skin looks against the white, she said,
lying down on her bed, looking at the dark skin of her wrist. You look like you could set the whole house on fire. Dieter took his shirt off as he crossed the room and looked down at her. You look like an African princess, a black jewel set in white. He took off his pants and his boxers. He took his time laying down between her legs. Are you ready? Marie Marta nodded, looking in his eyes, then whispered, You cannot hurt me. She wrapped her arms around him. Dieter placed his cock at her opening and pushed gently until he met her resistance. She was very wet. Her eyes never left his. Her hands cupped his ass, pulled on him, and he responded, pushing more forcefully. Marie Marta sucked in a quick breath, then another, and pulled on him again. He pushed hard, watching her eyes widen as the resistance inside her stretched, then gave way completely. Dieter slid his cock into her slowly, feeling her pussy change and stretch with each bit of progress until he was all the way in. He saw her every sensation in her eyes. Her fingers clutched his ass and she whimpered as she buried her face in his shoulder.
"Stay there," she said. "I am full of you. I want to stay full. Please, just stay."
Dieter held still, suppressing the urge to move. She was tight, but he was surprised to feel her experimenting with him. She squeezed him even more tightly with her pussy and tried to move left and right a little. He kissed her just under her ear, and she nuzzled her head closer to him. He kissed her there again, then a little lower on her neck. He kissed her lips. Then she looked in his eyes again.
"Empty me, and then fill me again slowly."
Dieter pulled back, fractions of an inch at a time, until the head of his cock was just inside her. Then he pushed in again, at a snail's pace. As he pushed, Marie Marta's face changed. He could still see the anxiety of pain, but he could see a new understanding growing that was overwhelming the pain. "This is good," she said, closing her eyes.
"You are very good. Fill me."
Dieter pushed all the way in, a little faster, and stopped. "Ah, yes." Marie Marta's breathing was coming faster now.
"Please yourself with me. I want to feel you enjoy my body."
Dieter felt her squeeze his cock twice, and he started stroking, very slowly at first, but speeding up gradually as she encouraged him. He bent his head down and licked her right breast, nibbled her nipple, switched to the other breast, always moving in and out of her. She responded, arching her back and pushing her breasts into his mouth, holding his head in her hands, whispering to him.
"Come now, Dieter," she said. "Come feel your beautiful African princess. Don't hold yourself back. We'll set the sheets on fire. We'll burn down the city. Ah, oh, that's sweet. Do it harder."
Dieter's face flushed as he picked up his pace. Marie Marta started to squeal with his thrusts. She squeezed him and rocked with him. She dug her nails into his back and whispered in French, and then spoke aloud something else completely, something more elemental, a language made for yelling across rivers, for spurring on lovers. The words were nonsense to Dieter, but their effect was to push him relentlessly toward his orgasm. Suddenly he stiffened and came, and Marie Marta felt him shudder, hardening and shaking inside her. And when he said her name, she came too with an abandoned cry.
"Stay in me,"
she said, her voice rough.
"Don't leave me empty."
So Dieter stayed as he softened, playing with her hair as she taught him dirty words in her first language. Finally, after her pussy, despite her efforts to keep him in, had squeezed his soft cock out, she smiled and said,
"I have brought a gift for you."
Summer woke Anthony up in the late afternoon with a kiss to his chin and a casual comment. "Someone's tearing down the fence." "Oh, let him," Anthony murmured without opening his eyes. "We have to move away anyway. Bastard landlord can fix the damn fence." "Let's go see." Summer wrapped a sheet around herself and picked her way carefully through the broken glass on the floor to the window. It's Dieter. He's tearing down your back fence. Anthony joined her at the window. That's weird. He's smiling. Friday must have short-circuited the big guy. Our neighbors are going to be pissed. He pulled on some clothes and headed for the stairs. Hey, Dieter! Anthony approached cautiously, watching for nails sticking out of the boards. What are you doing? We're having a barbecue tonight, he said. And then, as if to clarify, to celebrate. With our soon-to-be extremely pissed-off neighbors? They invited us. Summer walked up behind Anthony and wrapped her arms around his waist. Your week is about to get kind of weird. Look up there in the attic window. Anthony saw a black woman watching Dieter calmly through the window. She was naked. Ah, he stammered. Summer whispered into his ear, That's Marie Marta. She's a friend of mine. Yours too. That's Friday. She grabbed his hand and pulled him towards the ruined fence. Come on, she said. I'll show you my room. You live here? Right behind our house? Anthony sputtered. Summer was dragging him through the front door. Yes, Summer said. This is going to sound kind of weird. We had our eyes on you guys a few weeks ago, and suddenly one day, Marie Marta, you know, Friday, she came into the place we were living and told us she had bought a house to make our job easier. She said she could afford it, and she wanted us to move in with her. And you don't disagree with Marie Marta. So we did a lot of screaming and hugging, and then we moved in. Anthony was reeling. When she said her dad was rich, I didn't realize. And, oh no, she bought the house right behind the one our bastard landlord sold out from underneath us. I know. She bought your house too. Your bastard landlord was supposed to keep his bastard mouth shut, Summer scowled. Ruined your day, bastard. But I made it better right away anyway, huh? This is my room, and that's my bed. I hope you like it, because this is where I'm going to fuck you before the barbecue. Anthony's eyes were crossed, and he felt like he'd been hit by a truck. So Dieter is tearing down the fence for the barbecue to celebrate. Yes, Summer said. Anthony was confused, but he wasn't so confused that he didn't know what to do when Summer crawled onto her bed and wiggled her ass at him.